right now, something I just wanted to say right off the bat is last week we were kind of talking about Fool vibes and how last week with the Venus-Jupiter conjunction in Aries, there might have been some initiation or some sort of like spurt of inspiration to kind of change something or initiate something new, begin something new, right? And it's interesting because in this specific time period, like this last 3 weeks, I've never felt the presence of the Fool and the World like as strongly as I do right now. Like, I'm truly understanding the limbo of having Fool moments being intertwined with World moments and having World moments being intertwined with Fool moments, right? Like, I'm really feeling into the inseparable nature of these two cards. And if you're new to the tarot or you are a little bit more of a tarot novice, something I'll say is that the Fool is the first card of the tarot. You know, the tarot for me tells a story of the Fool's journey. So they're like the main character that begins the whole story. Whereas the World is actually the last chapter of the Fool's journey, right? And it's where, you know, things come to a close and things reach a point of finalization and the cycle or the chapter sort of starts to transmute into something new. And I think as we're sitting with some of this uncomfortable and exciting beginning and ending vibes at this moment, I think the main word, transmutation, is actually a good word to kind of use for this week. Just because when I think about transmutation, I think about, like, I don't know, like, I think about a state of material being and kind of being sucked into some sort of, like, spiritual cocoon, black hole, and being spit out in, like, an entirely new form, right? Like, transmutation isn't necessarily of this earth. Maybe that's wrong. Like, I think one example that I can think of, you know, is the butterfly and the sort of cocoon and the sort of goo that the butterfly kind of breaks down into and how it, you know, transforms into something completely different. If you can think of any other like transmutation kind of examples that we see in nature where you can kind of go into something in one form and come out in a completely different form, that is the vibe right now. And as to speak to this sort of I'm not okay kind of vibe in the air, yeah, like, you know, why are some of us, you know, not completely feeling like we have our feet on the ground right now in this Fool World sort of cycle? Well, first of all, you know, my friends, we have Saturn at the 29th degree of Aquarius stationing into Pisces in the next couple days. I mean, and then we have also Pluto at the 29th degree of Capricorn, right? Like, I can't think of, you know, a more intense karmic reckoning than Saturn being in the 29th degree of Aquarius while Pluto is in the 29th degree of Capricorn. And I'm wondering, has anybody come face to face with like sort of an old version of themselves lately, or maybe had the World mirror back to them just how much they have you have changed and grown in the past, you know, 3 to 5 years? Because that's part of what I've been feeling into this week in this sense of grief, and to speak to that, like, I'm not quite feeling okay. Like, I'm feeling kind of moody. I'm in this grieving state. I know it's like I'm the fool, but I'm leaping into the new beginning with still a lot to purge. And, I mean, yeah, it just feels so 29 degrees, Saturn and Pisces. Yet, I bet if you thought about it, you know, how many times in the past couple weeks has the universe knocked you in the head with, like, a past version of yourself that you have outgrown? I mean, this can come in a million different ways. Like, have you, you know, had a conversation with someone and, you know, found yourself saying, oh, I would have used to do that in a second, but I'm no longer in that space, or, like, I don't really fuck with that kind of stuff anymore, or, you know, the old version of me would have said yes to this immediately without thinking, but now this version of me says no a lot more, and that's kind of strange, right? Or maybe we even meet certain people who kind of just come into our lives as, like, kind of mirrors, and sort of mirror back to us just how much we have changed. Okay, so, oh, Vince, you said, absolutely, I've been saying, quote, an old version of me would XYZ. Yeah, yeah. And my friends, I have, like, such a funny example of this because, oh, and Nick, you said literally moved back home. So, yes, you haven't been home for a really long time. So you're, like, totally a different version of yourself in this space. And you're going through your nodal return. Yes, yes. And I'm going through my nodal reversal. So it makes sense. And, you know, yesterday, I went on, like, a first date and with someone I asked her out at this, like, concert, and, I didn't realize she was, like, you know, 24, and I just turned 28, and I think that's a pretty big age difference, but especially for me, because I'm 28 going on 258, you know, so I, like, I don't know, like, when I was 24, I wasn't even, not to say I was, like, more mature or emotionally, you know, stable, but I feel very disconnected with the average life of a 24-year-old. Okay, so I was like, okay, you know what? No, it's okay. Let's just, like, you know, see where it goes. I mean, it's a first date. Why put so much pressure on it? Guys, this girl was me, like, 5 years ago. Like, like I don't know how to explain it, but, like it was almost like this mirroring of, like, who I kind of used to be, or how I used to carry certain insecurities so heavily on my shoulders, and, like, how it, I mean, it's hard to explain, but I just you guys can probably add this up, that there won't be a second date. And this definitely doesn't have anything to do with her being, like, a bad person or anything like that. But it was just so, it was the perfect mirror of a part of me that has grown and evolved and just isn't in that place anymore, right? And we may be feeling that being mirrored back to us in different ways. For you, it might not necessarily be a first date, but, you know, who knows? Maybe your parents, you know, say something to you where you're like, wait, that's not me anymore. Or, you know, maybe you find yourself giving advice to a friend or a sibling, and you're like, wow, like, I wouldn't have gave that advice, like, 5 years ago. You know, like, I know what I've learned in this, you know, in this transitory Saturn kind of transit, this transitory Saturnian time where we've experienced such deep karmic lessons while Saturn has been in Capricorn, Saturn has been in Aquarius, and there's just something where we're, like, being shot out of, like, the black hole right now. And it's like, oh my gosh, like, I feel like my cells are different. I feel like I'm at that point where every 7 years they say every single cell in your body has regenerated. You know, that's kind of how I feel. I'm like, I'm still me, but, like, these aren't the same cells that I used to have, right? Happy little thing, you said, yes, home living with my mom and constantly getting the invitation to individuate. Cancer rising, Saturn in Aquarius. Okay, yeah, yeah. Mercury transit has been wild, too. Exactly. Natasha, you said, yeah. Okay, so Natasha, you said, yes, our cells change every 7 years, right? So that does relate to Saturn. You know, there's something here where we're really taking stock of how much we've grown, how far we've come. And honestly, I mean, the growth that we have had in Saturn in Capricorn and Saturn in Aquarius, you know, this was back 2019 and beyond. It wasn't fun. Like, who had fun during Saturn in Capricorn? Who had fun during the Saturn-Jupiter-Pluto conjunction in Capricorn? Like, who had fun during the Saturn-Jupiter conjunction in Aquarius? Like, no one. You know, like, we've all been through, like, some of our deepest shit in this past, like, 4 or 5 years, right? So some of this growth, it's a bittersweet feeling because, you know, once Saturn moves into Pisces, there's this very visceral change. And we've been talking about this for months, right? Yeah, little happy little thing. You haven't had fun in 6 years. Yeah. Yeah, it's like, I feel like everybody listening agrees. We're like, we haven't completely, had a break from the lessons for so long, right? But the change has been slow, right? Like, even if we did accomplish something really great during the past 6 years, it almost feels like, oh my God, like, in order to accomplish that, I had to claw my way through the trenches, you know, in order to, like, you know, materialize that, or it's been a lot, right? And As your Saturn in Pisces native, you know, my Saturn return will begin on Tuesday. And that's, you know, the day Saturn will move into Pisces. As your Saturn in Pisces native, I can tell you that, you know, having Saturn in Pisces is kind of a trip. Literally, you know, the song, the Grateful Dead song, you know, what a long, strange trip it's been. That's like, listen to that song, because that's the song of Saturn in Pisces. So it's kind of like, the metaphor I keep kind of alluding to is, you know, making a fence in the middle of the ocean, or trying to put a roof on top of a lake. Saturn in Pisces is such a conundrum, because Saturn being the planet of structures and foundations, but Pisces being dreams and connection with God and connection with spirit and being very in communication with the universe. And, you know, Pisces sometimes doesn't even have a body, right? Like, if we really look at the sort of metaphors behind the zodiac, you know, Pisces is where we're in, like, limbo or purgatory or the bardo. We're in the in-between space. And it isn't until Aries where we really, like, are birthed from our mother's womb and receive the body, right? Like, that's why Pisces oftentimes gets, compared to, like, Christ or something. You know, it's like, It's like that bodiless form. So how are we supposed to make structure from this sort of, ooey-gooey transmutation substance that isn't quite of this world? That's kind of the question behind Saturn and Pisces. But I'm saying this because not to make us feel like we have another Saturn cycle that's going to be a doozy. I actually think this Saturn cycle is going to be a very welcomed change for the vast majority of us, okay? And guys, I'm saying this as someone who's about to go through their Saturn return. Like, I mean, I think that there's something about Saturn and Pisces where we might receive, a deeper sense of hope and faith and trust. And we're able to start building things from those intangible materials. Like, I'm getting a picture of, like, I don't know, like a hardware store. At a hardware store, you usually buy material goods, right? You usually buy, like, hammers and nails and light bulbs. But at, like, the Saturn and Pisces hardware store, you get to buy intangible ingredients for your manifestation. You get to, like, go grab hope and faith and trust and your connection to God and deep down your feeling of things being able to work out. And that's also the lesson of Saturn and Pisces. It's sort of like our structures actually don't mean that much without the intangible ingredients that create the foundation. So I think our dreams finally kind of start to materialize in a deeper way with Saturn and Pisces. I think a lot of us are going to become more clear on how to materialize the thing that we haven't been sure how to go about, right? It sort of gives us a little bit of a piece of clay that we can suddenly start to form what was once, like, not quite ready to be formed. So you can see it's hard to even talk about Saturn and Pisces, and that's something I was struggling with. I recently wrote an article about Saturn and Pisces, and specifically I focused on Walt Whitman. The father of free verse poetry had Saturn and Pisces. So I was kind of doing an examination of his life and certain things in his life that were very Saturn and Pisces. But even in trying to write about it, I was like, how do you write about it? Like, it's arguably the weirdest planet sign combination. It just is. Like, and every person who actually has Saturn and Pisces is a big fucking weirdo. I mean, I'm not saying you can't be weird if you don't have Saturn and Pisces, but there's just something a little in extra interesting about it. So I know if you do have Saturn in Pisces like me, comment below. By the way, if you have Saturn in Aquarius, I know some people here, more people here would have Saturn in Aquarius. Congratulations, because you're completed with your Saturn return period. You've made it through. And Natasha, you said, can we read the article? Yeah, you can. Absolutely. I'll let you guys know when it comes out. Probably sometime in this month. I don't know. Yeah, this month. Vince, you said, it's the most oxymoronic sign planet combination, in my opinion. Yes, I agree. It's like the weirdest. It's the weirdest planet sign combination to explain. Like, I have an even easier time thinking about, okay, what would Saturn and Scorpio do? Or Saturn and Cancer do? You know, even Saturn and other water signs. I'm like, I kind of get that a little more. But with Saturn and Pisces, like, you know, it's just like another, it's another layer, right? And the card, I think I said this already, but Tuesday we have the Virgo full moon. And that's Tuesday the 8th. Let me grab my... It's gotta be Tuesday the 8th. Oh no, I lied to you. It's Tuesday the 7th. Tuesday the 7th, we have the full moon in Virgo at around 16 degrees Virgo. And literally very soon after, I think it's within an hour or two, Saturn in Aquarius shifts into Saturn in Pisces. So Tuesday is a really big day. And funny enough, I was asking the cards this morning for some guidance for how to move through this week. And I received Two of Swords. And it really immediately... It immediately made sense to me, because as we sort of sit with some of these very uncomfortable endings and also uncomfortable new beginnings, right? As we sit in the transmutation of the world to the fool to the world, etc., etc., like we're in that sort of infinity loop, I think it's really important this week to really do some serious introspection. And, you know, what is introspection? Introspection, I think, is not necessarily, like, obsessing about our own selves, you know, obsessively psychoanalyzing ourselves. That isn't necessarily the type of introspection I'm feeling. It's more a sense of really listening in on certain desires that are coming through. The desires that might even be kind of getting, you know, plowed over by our fears and our ego stories. You know, oftentimes when we don't take the time to introspect, we can more easily think that our emotional stories, our fear stories, are the truth of the matter. But what introspection actually helps us do is kind of hear our own truth beyond, you know, what the anxiety and the fear story is telling us, right? So it's very much higher self connection in the Two of Swords. And that's part of the reason why in the Two of Swords, this person, you know, she's wearing gray. Why is that? Well, she's avoiding the extremism of black or white. You know, she's not making a decision. She's not declaring anything about her particular situation. She's not taking a side. She's inherently in a neutral space wearing gray. And she's also blocking herself off from material clutter, I've always thought. Like, I kind of think, like, she's taking a moment to put her blindfold on, put up her swords. The fears and the conditioning of the material world can't really touch her right now. You know, because she's in contact with, you know, her higher being. And she's hearing a higher truth about her situation in this moment. Okay, so having this kind of moment, especially on Tuesday, you know, might very much be some medicine that we need. I'm really interested to feel into the shift of Saturn going into Pisces. you know, and I think there's something here about, you know, paying some respect, a little bit of respect to Saturn never hurt. And right now, with Saturn moving into Pisces and also Mercury in Pisces, I can't think of a better combination for just some inner reflection, some inner meditation, you know, really thinking about, when has my past version of myself been reflected back at me, you know, at some point today or some point in the past couple weeks? What endings are making me uncomfortable? Why are they making me uncomfortable? And not to judge these things. Like, we're not, like, getting into our beds and, like, getting into a cocoon of self-judgment. That's not what introspection is. You know, introspection isn't like, oh, God, you know, why would you say that? That was so dumb. You're so cringe. You know, like, I that is not the type of introspection I'm talking about, you know? So, you know, go to your Saturn in Pisces place of worship. If you don't have one yet, in the next month or so, it may be a very good time to, you know, find where is going to be your introspective slash place of worship for the next 2.5 years. I think there's something about Saturn in Pisces that really requires us to visit the temple, if you will. That might be one of the only physical places that can really explain Saturn in Pisces. You know, it's like the temple or the worship place or the ritual place or the Great Pyramids. You know, it's a structure that was made out of divine inspiration. So if there happens to be a, like, yoga studio or a spiritual center that you feel called towards, I would, you know, maybe go check that out, you know, this month. But at the same time, I already know where my Saturn and Pisces place of worship is, and it's the forest. You know, it's not necessarily inside a church or a temple. It's just in nature, next to a tree. You know, that's a perfectly accessible, you know, church for pretty much almost everybody, right? And Yeah, Vince, you said the two of swords is always an opportunity to pause. Exactly. And happy little thing, you said, feeling the fear of blossoming and individuating too much that I outgrow my marriage lately. Yeah. Long way home, you said, LOL, thanks for making that distinction. Yes. Yeah. Introspection is not self-criticism. It's not. Yeah, introspection is being in the state where we can even see past that kind of thing, right? And Natasha, you said, makes me think of the song lyric, church doesn't always happen on Sundays. It can happen anytime, anywhere, with anyone. Yeah. Oh, I love that. And it reminds me too that anyone can be our teacher. And I was thinking the other day, I was at the yoga studio my roommate manages, and I was doing some readings there on Friday night, and, you know, there's a lot of people who, you know, practice yoga there, who have been on, like, a lot of spiritual retreats, have gone to many places in the world, have visited many temples, have done yoga with many different gurus, and I was like, it would be interesting to ask all of these, like, yogis, you know, who was their greatest spiritual teacher. And I bet, actually, I think we would be surprised both by those answers, because I bet some of those people would say, like, you know, maybe it wasn't the guru they worked with in Mumbai or something, you know, maybe it was actually this person who stole their wallet on the train. You know, like, that's what it kind of reminds me too with Saturn and Pisces. Like, anybody can be our spiritual teacher depending on how we look at it, you know. Emmy, you said, I feel like I'm trying to create that Saturn and Pisces place in my body. Is it somewhere I can go simply by meditating wherever I am? I think that feels really resonant to me. I don't have to give you permission to have that be your place, but that sounds really aligned to me. And it's just kind of a special time this week to really reflect and align ourselves with the universe. That's the other thing that was coming to mind. The creator archetype came up in a tarot reading I was giving yesterday. And I was thinking about the creator archetype in the context of Saturn and Pisces. And truly, I think I've talked about this before, but I get the sense that we can create things as humans with these meat suits. We can create things and we can manipulate the spiritual world or the material world to go our way a lot of the time. And we can bypass to some extent, we can try to bypass, okay, the universe's partnership in our creation. But when we do that, it backfires somehow. Like, our egos can think we are going to bypass the universal laws and Mother Nature and God and whoever we want to put into this mix when we're creating something. But if we push past that, at the end of the day, it backfires. Okay, so a good example of this would be, like, someone like Jeff Bezos, like, CEO of Amazon, or, you know, whatever. No way is Amazon an aligned spiritual manifestation, right? Like, there are so many problems with it. Not saying I don't order from Amazon every once in a while, right? I'm not trying to, you know, sit on this pedestal or whatever. But, you know, there's no way Jeff Bezos is, like, meditating in the morning and kind of being like, you know, how can I partner with spirit today on my aligned creation, okay? And what's the consequence of it? You know, what's the consequence, the karmic consequence of this massive material manipulation of Amazon and Amazon warehouses and the amount of cardboard boxes and the amount of stuff and the amount of money and blah, blah, blah. I mean, there's massive environmental consequences, right? We could say global warming as a whole is literally a consequence of humans manipulating the spiritual world without the partnership of spirit, first and foremost, right? I mean, that's a greater concept, but we create things all the time, sometimes unconsciously, that aren't necessarily an aligned creation with the universe. But if we're really partnering with the creator, you know, the creator archetype, the creator archetype has one hand here and spirit has the other hand, and they're both shaking hands and they're both co-mingling. Is that the right word? They're collaborating. That's better. They're collaborating, with the manifestation itself. Right. And that's when, you know, that feeling of, oh, I've really just created something that I feel really proud of. Likely, that's because, you know, you were somehow unconsciously or consciously partnering with the universe on this creation, right? So that's another thing with Saturn in Pisces. Like, we have to be careful of the material foundations we do create, and if they are truly aligned with, if they are truly aligned with, both our ourselves on the human spectrum, but then also our higher selves and that part of us that is very much connected to the universe. I hope that makes sense, guys, but that's part of why we are being called to be introspective and kind of find that Saturn in Pisces temple, even if that temple is simply us in our own bodies meditating or a tree right outside our house. You know, we're being called to find that because that leads us into really sinking into the creator archetype in a lot of ways, okay? So, that's my little mini Saturn and Pisces, like, forecast. I'm sure we'll be talking about this more next week as we kind of marinate a little bit more with the energy itself. I'll likely make a YouTube video that's like rising sign forecasts for Saturn and Pisces. So that will be coming in the next couple weeks. And I would be happy to answer some questions, have some tarot polls, or send you some good energy or prayers at this moment. So feel free to comment those below. And while you are commenting that, my Moonology class is starting at the end of the month. And the Moonology class is a little bit about, it is about tracking the moon and learning how to, you know, look up the moon on a daily basis and seeing what it's doing and kind of using that information to apply to your daily life. And also looking at your own chart and seeing which moon transits might be best, you know, to do certain things. So it's a really great class, especially if you've been looking for a little bit more of an intermediate astrology kind of class. This isn't to say beginners can't join. I would say if you're a beginner student, but you're very familiar with the planetary symbols and the symbols of the zodiac signs, and you're kind of familiar a little bit with how the chart works, come on into the class, right? If you're a complete novice, like never, like if I showed you the sign of Capricorn and you wouldn't know it at all and you don't even, like if you know nothing about the planets, you, if I said, what's Venus? And you said, I don't know what that even represents, probably not the class for you. You're going to need a little bit more of a beginner rudimentary class. But this one is like that sweet spot between the beginner intermediate student who now is being launched into maybe kind of their higher studies. And here's the thing, this class is going to teach you how to track the moon. Once you know how to track the moon, you're going to, you know, figure out how to track the other planets too, right? So it's going to be a really good class. I'm excited. If you want to join, I have 4 different payment tiers to make it as accessible for everybody. But you guys know me, ultimately, I want you in the class if you want to be in the class. So if those payment tiers still aren't vibing or just don't seem possible, reach out, let me know. We'll work something out, okay? Ultimately, I want to get you in the class. So that's my tea. If you know anybody who might enjoy the Moonology class, feel free to share this on your Instagram story for me or tag them in my post. Go like my post. I made a reel about the class that kind of explains it a little bit more, and the link is in my bio to sign up. Also, Cancer Risings, if you're part of my Cancer Rising meetup group via Ascendant Assemblies, we're meeting tomorrow, 7 p.m. Eastern, and we're back to having the meetings on Zoom. So I know there was like maybe 2 months where we were trying out a different platform and everybody hated it and blah, blah, blah. So we're back to Zoom. So that's, that's the tea on that. I think those are all of my announcements. Also, my March books are open, and let's get to some of these card polls. But first, coffee. Honey Jelly, you said, can I have a card for this upcoming week? Please and thank you. Yes, let's see here. Okay, Honey Jelly, Seven of Pentacles. Tend to the things that need to be finished or kind of need to be wrapped up before you begin new things this week. And I know it's tempting to feel a new rush of energy and begin something new, but make sure that you're properly finishing the things that you wanted to finish first. Like, an example of this with the Seven of Pentacles is, like, why do I have 3 astrology courses that I still haven't finished yet? Because I bought one and then didn't finish one and then bought the next one and then didn't finish the next one. So now I have to go back and finish all of them, you know, and it's annoying, right? You know, something like that is coming through with the Seven of Pentacles. Like, finish what you started. You're going to feel a lot better about the new thing that comes in, maybe even as soon as next week. But first, this week requires discipline from you, okay? Jess, hey Jess, can you get a card for next week? Yes. Hanged One. All right, guys, you see, okay, even the first 2 cards that are out with everybody, like the Seven of Pentacles and now the Hanged One, you know, it's looping me back to the 2 of Swords, which was the collective energy, which was like, this week is, you know, it's a time for internal alignment, and, you know, really marinating with some of the changes that have happened. Jess, I do think you are, you know, the Hanged One is sort of this, this time where we might be grieving, we might be really marinating with some of the losses or challenges that we have gone through in the past couple months. We might be kind of uncomfortable or kind of having some growing pains with the next iteration of who we are, right? Yet there's this like change that is also happening in the Hanged Man, because we know the Death card follows the Hanged Man, and the Death card is about change and revolution and transformation. So I'm just getting, you know, continue to be kind to yourself. If you are in limbo, the worst thing that we can do is try to like slingshot ourselves out of limbo when it doesn't feel right. That's something that the Hanged One has taught me ultimately, that you will drop from that tree naturally if you surrender. But if you try to untangle yourself and get out of it, then you're like stuck in it for a longer period of time, right? Lauren, you said, I would love an anchor card for this week and especially some medical appointments I have coming up. Oh my God, I'm trying not to sneeze. I don't want that to be in the recording. Okay. That passed, thank God. We already know my audio quality on the podcast is not great. So Lauren, if someone wants to teach me about microphones, please let me know. Okay. Lauren, Ace of Cups. Okay. So I think this is reminding you that Saturn in Pisces is actually going to be a really fruitful time for you. I think there's definitely some moments of gratitude that will come to you about how far you've come this year, but in the past couple years. The Ace of Cups is also, you know, it draws on being able to receive the next thing and really being able to say, yeah, I deserve this. And I worked hard for this. And I'm saying yes to this. And I think like kind of centering in on your own worthiness of the cup that is being handed to you is really important. So doing some like receptivity kind of work, that sort of divine feminine kind of stuff, where maybe you're working with that energy of just receptivity, whether that be in nature or working with a god or a goddess or a certain crystal that kind of rules over, like, sort of that that receptive quality of the universe. I think that's really important. Okay. Happy little thing. You said, I would love a card for starting my new job in coffee. Feels intimidating, and I'm a bit afraid of sinking into the old patterns that created burnout. Page of Swords. Okay, cool. Well, I kind of have a feeling. I don't know. You said your new job in coffee. I'm not sure if that means like you're barista-ing or you're working in a cafe. But I actually think that this job is going to be stimulating in the right ways, in the sense of with the Page of Swords, it's like that intellectual stimulation. The ideas that you're going to trade back and forth with your customers or your clients. Sort of like the excitement that you will gain from intellectual connection. It kind of reminds me of Gemini. I'm not sure if you have any Gemini in your chart, but it reminds me of like what Gemini really teaches us, which is how to like kind of collect ideas and data and use that as inspiration for kind of their intellectual pursuits, right? So I do think this job is going to be really intellectually stimulating in the right ways. And I think it's up to you to create the correct boundaries when you know, get home from work. You know, if you just spent 7 hours baristaing and having a really great conversation with everybody who came in, like, you know, you're giving yourself the appropriate silent time, you know, as you kind of, as you kind of self-care. I think that silence as a part of your self-care practice is going to be important. Okay, Allie, you said, I would love a card for this week as I'm preparing to get a new puppy. Aw, they're the best. They are, like, literal babies the first, like, 3 weeks you have them. It's like, Jesus Christ. But they are the best. Okay, Allie's new puppy, Four of Pentacles. So I'm actually getting that this puppy is sort of like part of the new home kind of creation of, it's part of the creation of the new energy in your new home. And oftentimes the Four of Pentacles does come up when we're feeling a little bit not enough or blah, 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 but that's not what I'm getting here. I'm feeling more of a creation of sacred space for you. And I think this animal is part of the sacred space that you have been creating for yourself. And yeah, I just feel like also the word ecosystem comes to mind. And maybe there's something about this animal that kind of helps the ecosystem of your home, if that makes sense. Like if you and this animal are existing together with like your plants and your crystals and the energies that sort of, you know, bounce around your house, it's like all of those energies are collecting to create something good. So I'm excited for you. Send us pictures. Morgan, you said, I'd love a card pulled for this week. Yes. Eight of Wands. Okay, so it looks like there's kind of like maybe a block being cleared this week for you, Morgan. Like maybe you hear back about, you know, certain paperwork you've been waiting on, or maybe there's like a payment that you finally receive that you've been waiting on. Like there's something that kind of clears the path, but I think there's something about not being too hasty or, you know, with this sort of clearing of the path. And just because this path opens up something doesn't mean you have to race forward now that it has been cleared. You know, take your time and go slow with this clearing, and just really enjoy the sort of sense of things are opening up for me, but it doesn't mean I have to decide what to do with this opening right here and now. Okay. Blue Moon Cocoon, you said, I would love a card for my upcoming vacation week. Okay, I love that for you. Strength. You know, there might be some, maybe, I don't know if it's like rest shame that you're kind of fighting this week, because sometimes strength is about when, you know, our sort of monkey minds kind of take over. And I think it's best to really have a mantra for this vacation week, like really have that mantra of it's good and sacred and abundant for me to rest, you know, something like that, that can really remind you that it's okay to, you know, really replenish yourself this week and not feeling guilty or shame about what you choose to do with this week off. If it's literally you getting 10 hours of sleep a day and, you know, drinking tea and reading on the couch for 5 days in a row, and that's what you need, you know, that's what you need. So I'm wishing you good luck on that, Blue Moon Cocoon. Ellis, you said, could I get an anchor card for my Saturn return, or at least the beginning of it? Yeah, let's see. Three of Pentacles. Okay, so this makes sense to me, because I think, Ellis, like, there's something about the Saturn return that has to do with aligning with the right groups, the right people, the aligned romantic connections, the aligned friends. I think there's been a period for you for a while that's kind of been about isolation, and it's been about, you know, marinating within yourself and kind of healing yourself, which is totally valid. I think sometimes when we have that dark night of the soul, our only choice is to kind of be in our own cave, right? But there is something about this Saturn return in Pisces where collaboration is really important for you. Community is the word that comes to mind that feels especially important. So anything you can start thinking about when it comes to community building in your city, you know, meeting new people, putting yourself out there in a way where collaboration is possible, I think that could be really beneficial for you. And remember, it doesn't all have to happen tomorrow. This is a 2.5 year situation. Okay. Sam, you said last week was very emotional for sure. Would love a card for support. Of course, yes. And Sam, I'm so excited for you to be in Moonology. Six of Pentacles. So, why did I hold that in the weirdest way? I was like, six of Pentacles. Six of Pentacles. I think, Sam, this is a week to not isolate, ask for help. Don't be shy about reaching out when you feel like you need to talk. You know, I think when we're going through a difficult time, sometimes we can tell ourselves that, like, we're a burden on others, or others don't really want to listen, or we don't want to emotionally dump or whatever. But I mean, at the same time, I do feel like I know you, you know, and I do think that, you know, there's an ethical way that you would go about, like, hey, like, I'm having a bad day. Do you have a spare 30 minutes to chat while I take my walk? You know, there's nothing wrong with reaching out, you know, to people when you need that, or even if you just need that friend to come over and watch a movie with you, and maybe you guys don't talk, and it's just like, I just needed the company. that for me feels very important with the Six of Pentacles. So keep in mind that you have helped so many of your friends and connections through the hardest parts of their life. And, you know, be confident that other people do want to be there for you at this moment. Vince, you said if you have time, I'd love a card for my teeth and health problems. Hopefully that Saturn ingress will be positive. Vince, that's so funny because tomorrow I like need to make a dentist appointment. yeah, and I don't have dental insurance, so I know I'm gonna have to pay out of pocket, but hopefully I don't have any like cavities or anything that would require like the big bucks. Knight of Cups. I'm feeling good about this, Vince. I think that something you could keep in mind is even though things like the dentist and the doctor are scary, I mean, especially for, you know, those of us who are, you know, I don't know, like queer and, you know, I don't know, feeling like the medical complex, the medical industry could easily misunderstand or gaslight us or whatnot. It's really hard to remain positive about there being helpers who are actually aligned, you know, to be there for us. But with the Knight of Cups here, I think just really holding the belief in your heart, Vince, that this week or in the next month or so, you're going to run into really aligned healers who are very empathetic, want to help you, want to understand you. Just holding that in your heart and really asking the universe, like, you know, today, make sure that, you know, I'm aligned with the nicest dental assistant I can, that's in the office, or I run into the nicest nurse who's gonna give me like this shot or whatever it is, you know, like really saying that prayer that every helper you run into in the medical field is going to be beneficial. Yes. You guys are so welcome. And, Sam, you said, so excited about your Moonology class. Thank you for that reading. Definitely on point. You're so welcome, Sam. And, thanks, guys. You're the best. Maybe one more reading for Saint Vesta, and then we'll close out. But Vesta, you said, hey, Mal, can I get a card for some guidance on how to best navigate a complicated relationship issue if you have time? Yeah. So the Three of Wands is here. And I wonder if, you know, this is kind of making me feel, I don't know if there's locational, you know, difficulties in this relationship. Like maybe you're one place, they're another place, or maybe you both are together, but you're both being called to different places, or there's something about like, you know, and even if it's not physical location, maybe there's a little bit of like a difference in path or a path kind of diverging. And that can be really difficult because, you know, in our relationship stuff, we have to decide like when this growth moment can be done with this person and when this growth moment requires us to do it alone, right? And I don't think there's a right or wrong answer here. I think it's just checking in with yourself and making sure that you aren't self-sacrificing any of your dreams or ambitions in order to, you know, keep on the same path as that other person, and making sure that they're not doing that with you. And if you both truly weren't self-sacrificing, is there a way to continue to support each other on your paths while still, you know, meeting each other's needs? Or is it the kind of situation where maybe, you know, because of the path diverging, there's a little bit more of a calling to, maybe do that sort of, not necessarily walking the path alone, but maybe figuring out, choosing to honor the path above all. that feels to me like something that's coming through. So that's the Three of Wands, Saint Vesta. There's this new path that's emerging. Feels like you and this partner are choosing, are we going to walk this new path emerging together? Or are we going on our separate ways? Is this our crossroads? I'm glad that makes sense, Saint Vesta. And Vince, you said a question that's been on my mind in this realm, is there an empowering way we can both part ways? Oh, I love that. I love that that reframe, Vince, because oftentimes that's a really hard thing to accept, right? It's really hard to accept when we, you know, are on different paths from the person that we have love for. And sometimes the hardest decision is the right decision, you know, and that can be difficult. And the right decision doesn't mean we're not sad or grieving, you know. That's something that, you know, certain breakups have taught me, right? But that's about it, my friends. We'll end it up with that optimistic note, on that optimistic note. So let me know, save your Saturn and Pisces stories, and I would love to know how the ingress feels for you, Cancer risings. Hopefully I'll see you tomorrow night on the eve of Saturn and Pisces. Really looking forward to our meetup. I always need it as much as everybody else. And let me know if you have any questions about Moonology class. If you're listening on the podcast, I'll leave the link in the show notes. If you're listening live right now, the link is in my bio. And sending you guys lots of love, and we'll talk soon.